Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Man, to the Marks and Reese Show here on 94 WIP. Was that really necessary, Jack? I mean, we come in taking shots. I'm Mike Reese. Joining me today, special co-host today, is Johnny Marks. Is not in today, but sitting in, riding shotgun with his boy today for John Marks, is my main man, one of my nemesis, Elliot Shore Parks, ESP. What's happening, brother?
What up, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm fantastic, man. It's a football Friday. We got the Phillies back tonight in Atlanta for a big series coming up over the weekend. You got the Sixers back on tap tonight in New Orleans. Big matchup there. So much to talk about as it pertains to the sports scene in this city. But as you know, as it's always at the top of our brain, right? Yep. It certainly isn't very far away. And having you here today gives me and our listeners an opportunity to dive into what we like to dive into the most, which is our beloved Philadelphia Eagles and where they are right now. And so what I want to do with you today, Elliot, because I'm hearing a lot of this over the last couple of days, and quite frankly, I'm not sure where it's coming from, but there has been this new groundswell of, should I call it support or backing or lobbying for one Howie Roseman, vice president, general manager, whatever his title is with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Super Bowl champion.
Yes. Believe me. And I am a fan of Howie Roseman. I really am.
Yeah.
And consider myself a friend of Howie Roseman's. I've known him for two decades. So I'm with you there. So I'm not as down on him as some are. But I will say this. To attach to his offseason sort of resume or doings, that it's been a great offseason, a very good offseason for Howie Roseman. It's just, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know why it's all of a sudden coming up. And I certainly don't know if there's any merit to it when I look at what this offseason has been about. Let me give you a couple things before I let you jump in here and sort of state your case as to why you feel like, because I've heard you say it and I've seen you tweet it out, that Howie Roseman has had a great offseason.
Yeah.
Has had a great offseason.
He has. I mean, I think he deserves an A.
I didn't even ask for a grade. You're already throwing an A out there.
I don't know if I'll get A+, but I think an A.
You're throwing an A out there. Okay, so without going over all the things that we've gone over the last couple of months, and we know that we're upset about with Howie Roseman, you got your work cut out for you today, brother.
I'm used to it.
I was trying to convince
me.
This listening audience that Howie Roseman has had a great offseason.
Well, I spent two years trying to convince you Carson wasn't good.
And that still hasn't happened. That still hasn't happened.
I'm
so
used to it, yeah.
You got 4 hours here today to try to get it done, along with a lot of other things that we're going to get into, a lot of fun stuff to talk about. I really am excited about hanging out with you today.
Yeah, I'm pumped, man. Feels like the Players Lounge is back.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think our listeners will enjoy the show today. But go ahead and lay out your case real quick as to why you think Howie Roseman has had a great offseason.
So you mentioned that there's kind of been a swell or a new kind of group of people that are saying, you know, Howie's not been that bad this offseason. And look, we get to talk every Friday at 3. We talk throughout the week. And I am excited to be here with you for 4 hours because I do think someone needs to come out and highlight that Howie has had a really good offseason. And I get the frustration. Trust me. I watched those Eagles games last year. Like, that was one of the worst Eagles seasons I've ever covered in my time as a beat writer. But we have to realize that since then, he's done an extremely good job with what he's had to do. When the offseason started, this team was in terrible cap situation, which he put them in, but that's where they were, right? Mm-hmm. They had a quarterback that was forcing his way out, that they had to rectify that situation. Mm-hmm. They had an older roster, and they had a lot of really tough decisions to make. Like, what guys do you keep? Which guys do you extend? Which guys, you know, do you kind of redo their deal so you double down on them? What Howie has done since then, I think, has been great. The Carson situation. He took a really bad situation and got a first, probably a first-round pick and a third-round pick for a quarterback that forced his way out. I think that's great return for Carson. So he took a terrible situation and made it into a good one for this team. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about the money. He was in a bad spot, but they were really able to navigate their way out of that without making too much damage to the future. They still have enough money next offseason to do whatever they want. So the two biggest things that he had to do, he did a great job with. Flat out. Then if you look at some of the improvements he's made to the roster, I think that Anthony Harris and Eric Wilson signing are two of the best bargain free agency signings out there that any team has made. Eric Wilson, outstanding last year, 122 tackles. He got him for $3 million. Mm-hmm. Anthony Harris, 2 years ago, was one of the best safeties in the league, so much so that he got franchise tagged. Howie got him for $5 million. So Howie played a role in getting the team to where they are. But I think people need to, you know, take a deep breath, step back, and realize that Howie is doing a good job right now. And that's what the Eagles are going to need for them to get out of the hole that they're in.
Yeah, I don't know if I would classify anything you just said as a good job. I think he's done a decent job sort of not allowing this thing to sort of sink into the abyss, which there are some that felt like that's where it was headed. I never felt that way.
Right.
The Eagles are too good of an organization to allow that to happen. So I didn't think we were in dire straits when we talk about where the Eagles were going to be heading. Thought that maybe, you know, it may be a little bit of a tough year. How they improve the team? Do they address the areas that need to be addressed? And how do they address them? Do they address them with veterans or do they address them with draft picks? A lot of these things we'll continue to go through throughout the day. Let me give out the numbers real quick. 215-592-9494. Call up, give us your thoughts on this. I think Elliot is really crazy, and anyone who's thinking like
anything
Elliot
in particular, or just, you know, just about this.
Well, Joe DeCamera, Joe Giglio. I mean, this thing with
shut
the
his hole.
Yeah, this thing with the Howie is doing a great job. I feel like I'm in a twilight zone, right? I feel like I'm in a twilight zone with you three, and we'll get to the root of this. I think you gave me some real surfacey stuff that would allow you to sort of, I don't know, support the case that you're trying to make. But before this show is out, I'm going to have to find out whether or not if this support for Howie, this newfound support for Howie from you three guys, yeah, doesn't have something to do with a dearly departed quarterback that used to be here, considering you guys were on the other side of that. And now you feel like, yeah, now we can support these guys because that guy is gone. But that's neither here nor there. We'll get to the root of it.
Well, it's me and you here, so you know we're going to have to get into it a little bit.
Yes, well, we'll get to that, and I'm sure everybody wants to talk about that. 215-592-9494 here on Marks and Reese. My main man, Elliot Shore Park, sitting in for John Marks today as John had to take care of some stuff. Some personal business, and he'll certainly be back with us on Monday. But I'm looking forward to today, man. We got a lot to get into, Elliot. I mentioned the Eagles. We'll get to the Sixers. We'll get to the Phillies. We'll get to what did we bring up, Jack, with the what's my side question today?
Oh, today it's so your boy LeBron James.
Yeah, yes.
The true goat, the one goat of basketball is remaking House Party.
Yeah, that's what it was. That
I'm
bothered
surprised
me.
You forgot, man. Yeah, that's your boy LeBron.
That had to be a topic today because LeBron, he's already remade Space Jam. He's going to do Space Jam 2. And I got to admit, I've seen the trailer. Not bad.
Looks good.
Not bad.
Looks good. Well, LeBron's never failed, so it's hard to, you know.
Thankfully for me, I don't have kids that age that's running out to want to see Space Jam, so I don't have to be subjected to Space Jams. And by the way, I wasn't that big of a fan of the original Space Jams.
Well, I was a kid when Space Jam came out. So for me, like that was my childhood. I loved watching that. I mean, the nice thing, too, is it'll be streaming. So you don't even have to go out to the theaters. You can just watch it from the luxury of your home.
But he is supposedly going to do a remake of the great House Party movie. Kid and Play, House Party.
Which I've never seen.
Oh, my God.
Way. Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. See the original before LeBron taints your thought process on how great of a movie this was. And listen, it's a terrible idea to remake the movie. But we want to throw out there to people as the show goes on today, a movie from the 90s, Jack?
I think we could open up to all.
Oh, you want to do all of them?
Yeah,
okay.
We'll do all eras. I mean, probably no movie post-2000 needs to be remade. I mean, if we're being serious. Any movie that should be remade. I mean, I didn't know House Party needed to be remade, but LeBron decided, hey, you know, I'm going to rewrite the 90s history myself. And right. just like the Jordan.
Well, at least he's not going to be in it, though. It seems like he's just remaking it. So that'll be good.
Yeah. Right, right. Well, that was the other thing, yeah, to find out whether or not he was going to actually find a role in there. He may find a little role in there somewhere. But let me get back to this Eagles point with you, Elliot. Here's where I'll give you pushback. Is that a lot of this, what you're giving Howie credit for doing this offseason, was created by Howie.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't necessarily pat you on the back for cleaning up and say a job well done when you created a lot of this, right? And I'm not saying he solely was responsible or what have you, but the idea of the personnel that was on the team, the way the team was constructed, the expectations on the season, they obviously were high to the point where the head coach had to be fired for whatever reason. The Super Bowl, the only Super Bowl winning head coach in franchise history, had his first bad season, and now he's no longer here. I'm not saying that was all Howie, but I'm just saying if we're going to say he's over all of this, these are the things that transpired under his watch that they could have controlled. And here's the biggest thing I would say to you, Elliot. First of all, let me ask you, it's kind of a rhetorical question with you, considering you're giving Howie an A for this offseason.
An A.
But do you think the majority of Eagle fans, if you were to ask Eagle fans, do they feel better about the team right now, or do they feel worse about the team right now?
I would say
What do you think they would say?
Well, if I'm being honest, I think that they feel worse. I think that they feel worse about where this team is at versus a year ago. Now, but what I would say to them, though, is, again, I agree with you 100%, right? Howie put them in this situation. Howie made the mistakes to put them here. Howie had bad draft picks. He handed out bad contracts. Those mistakes were made. Mm-hmm. If Jeffrey Lurie would have came out at the end of the season and said, you know what? Last year was unacceptable. I'm firing both Doug and Howie. I wouldn't have pushed back on that. Because when you have the type of ugly season you did last year, people need to be held accountable. So I'm not sitting here and saying that Howie's done a good job. But once Howie was kept, and once he started to make the decisions this offseason, you have to view those separately. And I see your point about he put them there, but it is what it is, right? If you have four bad games in a row and you play the fifth one good, you still had a good fifth game, you know? So I think when I look at the moves Howie has made—
Well, you don't turn around and say you've had a good month.
But we're not talking about if he's had a good month. We're looking at this in different things. Like the offseason, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Has he had a good offseason? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes. And where I would push back on you is, what moves has he made that you don't agree with, right? Like the Carson, whether or not they should have traded Carson aside, because that's a debate that we'll be having for years in this city.
Well, that's the first one you can say that I don't agree with. That's the first one.
But
yes.
He had no choice but to trade Carson.
Okay.
Okay. But once
I won't argue with that.
Once they traded Carson, like once the decision was made, do you not agree he got good value back?
Yes.
Okay, so the biggest thing that he had to do this offseason, I think he hit a home run on. Like a first and a third round pick for Carson, I think is great.
That's not a home run.
What would have been?
Like two first rounders?
Yeah, but Carson's not good enough to demand that, right? Because
he was good enough to demand a first and a second. That's a conditional first rounder.
Right, but do you not agree that they took the best offer they got? It wasn't like there were teams banging down the door to trade for Carson for multiple ones. So you took a quarterback that was so bad last year he was benched. And again, not to get into the Carson debate, but a quarterback whose value is at an all-time low, and he turned it into a good asset for this team.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is that it's hard for me to view that entire situation as a positive. For Howie, did he make the most of it? Sure.
Right.
He got what he could. But I can't turn around and say you get an A for getting a first and a conditional second round pick for your franchise quarterback. I can't do that.
Right.
So, yeah, he made the best of the situation, but that's not a positive. Right?
Well, I think it depends how you look at it, because I do think that Carson being traded for a first and a third, and you know probably will be a first, is a net positive for this team.
Okay.
And that's where we disagree. But in terms of creating value, I think Howie did a great job.
Okay, so then And then you get to the point where there hasn't been much improvement on the team. Yeah, they brought in Anthony Harris. I like the signings that they brought in. Eric Wilson. I like those guys that they brought in. I don't know how much of an impact that's going to make. Mm-hmm. And here's why. If you're bringing those guys in on a team that's ready to actually contend for a division and be a playoff title team,
right,
then I could say, yeah, you've had some pretty good additions. But when you bring these type of players to a team that you don't expect to win more than six games, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything.
Well, but our expectations are not always reality. Just because we don't think, and I think me and you are actually two of the people that are probably a little more positive on this team than most. Like, I don't think either me or you thinks they're not a three or four win team next year.
No.
They'll be competitive. Oh. The Eagles are always competitive, almost always, except last year, which was hard to watch. Mm-hmm. But I think Eric Wilson comes in and he fills a position in need. And this is where I think people get lost with Howie, is Howie had a bad year last year and the team suffered because of it. But what Howie has also done is he has earned the benefit of the doubt. Howie has been one of the better, like top 10-ish general managers in the league since he came in. His team has made the
playoffs. Based on what?
Based off record, based off playoff wins, based off the Super Bowl. Even if you take away the Super Bowl, well, it's just factual. When you look at his resume.
Well, it's factual when you look at it on the surface. But if you look at his win-loss record.
Hold on.
If you dig, it's, that's all surfacey stuff.
But that's what matters most.
Well, to the layman, it does. But what I'm saying is if you're going to give him all this credit, then you got to point to areas where he failed and then ask, well, why couldn't you succeed there? Yeah. Why is the team over the salary cap? Like, if you want to do all of those things, well, Howie had a better supporting team around him. He had a better supporting team around him. So when you have a better supporting team around you, you make better decisions. And that's what you can say. And as that support staff has dissipated, guys have left, gone to different areas, gone and taken on different jobs, the same success level hasn't been there on the field or off the field with signings, with draft picks, on the field results. So we can't just say we're going to give him all the credit when they did well, because now I'm going to ask you, why are these things happening?
Well, but I'm not denying that those things are happening. Howie is not a perfect general manager. When you look at draft record, he's probably among one of the worst in the league, I would imagine, when you just talk about, you know, guys that have made Pro Bowls, finding impact players. He's not done a good job of that. But where I would push back to
Before you push back.
Okay. Well, I'll be pushing back all day.
Before you push back over there, Pusher T.
I mean, Pusher T is my guy. We want to talk about, you know,
Let's get to these phone calls so we can talk to these folks, man. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese here. My man, Elliot Shore Park, sitting in for Johnny Marks today. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, it's just now getting started. We have this thing hasn't gotten heating up the way it's going to be heated
up. I was
up.
So excited when I got the text this morning. I was like, we got the Players Lounge. Ike, we can talk Eagles. It's a Friday. So I'm pumped, man. I'm excited to talk to these people.
All right, well, we're going to let Scott, he's out in Bucks County, get us started off. Let's go, Scott. Welcome to Marks and Reese.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Great to talk to both of you. I'd like to answer the question a little differently. And I think you both just hit on it.
Okay.
Has Howie done a good job? I would say he's done a smart job this offseason. And by that, I mean, Elliot just talked about it. At the end of the season, we were all asking the question, who goes, who stays? Is it Doug? Is it Carson? Is it Howie? They made the decision on Doug. They made the decision on Carson. And we felt as a fan base that this would be Howie's year to be accountable. We thought he'd have 1 year to be accountable. By making these trades and pushing and getting draft picks in the future, I feel like he's going to be around for 2 or 3 years now to see this all the way through. And that's what disappoints me the most.
I agree with you. Look, I think Howie has had a good offseason. Do I think he's going to nail these draft picks? Do I think he's definitely going to rebuild the team?
Well, you should.
I think he will, but I'm saying I don't feel as confident about that, right?
Okay.
But to Scott's point, I can understand why people would be worried about Howie. What I'm here to say is people need to give him a chance. Like, I think there's something with Howie where people are so mad at him, and he used a great word, accountable. People want Howie to be held accountable. I think that's the top issue people have with Howie. They don't feel like he'll ever be fired or that he can't be held to a standard where he would be let go. But if you take that aside, I think smart is also a good word. He's made a lot of smart moves this offseason, and that is a first step in the right direction where people should start to trust him more.
Well, listen, that's where you and I agree at. I'm not out on Howie Roseman. Yeah. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if we're sitting back evaluating this past year and this offseason, and I just don't see how anybody could be under the mindset that this has been a great offseason for Howie Roseman. I hear that, and I'm like, what? A great offseason? Man, he's one level above this thing being a disastrous offseason. The head coach is no longer here. Your franchise quarterback has been traded. There is question marks at the quarterback position right now as to what direction are we going in past the 2021 season. The head coach, who I think, listen, I'm liking Nick Sirianni more and more. I get to pay more attention to just football stuff and not the other stuff. But he also has to win over this fan base.
Absolutely.
There's a lot that has yet to be determined. And for you and others like you to already clarify him as a winner this offseason, we haven't even had the draft yet. Let's go to Brian and Glendon. My goodness. Put him up, Jack. I still haven't gotten this thing figured out in here yet. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm glad you pulled me on first because I would have hated to hang up before I was able to make my point. Anybody that think Howie has did a good job other than the Super Bowl year is an idiot, a straight-up idiot.
Why is that?
It makes no sense. Why would you trade the number 6 pick to move back? We know what's going to happen. Dallas is going to end up taking that tight end. And we're going to be forever sick behind this. First of all, he hired a coach named Serengeti. His name is going to be Serengeti until he wins because nobody knows anything about this guy. He hired him so he can be controlled. Howie made this move for Howie. This move is for job security. He doesn't care about this team. He doesn't care about this city. He doesn't care about these fans. This dude is an idiot. Now, listen, I love the Eagles, but I'm on the borderline of hating them.
Don't hate him, Brian. And thanks for the call, brother. That's the passion and fire that we're gonna get out of people. You don't need to hate Howie Rosen, but I think what Brian is saying, he just hate where the team is at right now.
And I understand
that's
that.
That's what it is.
But what I would say to Brian is, and look, I love the passion, is the good news is the Eagles have been good under Howie Roseman. Like there's not many years that, like last year where it was a pain to watch this team. Even in their down years when they were, you know, getting into the playoffs because they were in a bad division, like a lot of teams would kill for that. Do you know how many teams would kill to have the success that Howie Roseman had? So many teams out there don't even come close to doing what Howie's done, right? So I would encourage Brian to say, yeah, I get being mad at Howie. You can be mad at him. But you can also look at it clearly and say, there's a very good chance this team is going to rebound very quickly, and it's going to be because of Howie Roseman. We've seen him do it before.
All right, well, listen, with that part, I kind of agree with you on. At least I got my fingers crossed, hoping that you're right.
There we go.
About that. I'm just giving out early grades. I wish he was like my professor or teacher when I was in high school.
Yeah, I didn't see many of those in high school or college.
And today's broadcast brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's pickup or delivery on game day or any day. All your favorites, click DoorDash or Uber Eats. ChickiesandPete's.com. For more details, Elliot, we'll be right back here in a moment, but we'll continue your phone calls on the other side. Has Howie had a good offseason? I cannot believe Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks, Howie Roseman.
Someone's got to be honest with the Howie, people. Someone's got to be honest.
I'm asking, has he had a good offseason? You've taken it up another level and said he's had a great offseason.
A great offseason.
We'll continue this discussion. And coming up at 2:45, we'll get into the draft stuff with ESP. Can't wait to do that when we go with Jack with Mock Draft Central. Get in now, 215-592-9494, right here on 94 WIP, Marks and Reese. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP, Marks and Reese, hanging out with you here on this Friday afternoon. Today's show brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's welcomes you back, the best fans in the world, to their flagship location on Packer Avenue in the Stadium District, plus their locations inside the Wells Fargo Center and at the ballpark. Make sure you get down to Chickies and Pete's, man. I rode past there yesterday. Place crawling with people. Also, a Twitter question of the day brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. When you shop for the diamond engagement ring of her dreams, buy one from the home team at Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville, PA. Shop local online at marks-jewelers.com. Jackaroot.
Yeah.
Today's you got for us on our Twitter question,
listen,
brother.
People are not happy early with Howie. Shocking. But the Twitter question is, has Howie Roseman had a good offseason? A light 70% have said no. Howie Roseman has not had a good offseason.
Sounds like my normal Twitter mentions. Not surprised to see that.
Well, see, and here's the thing. Now Jack, you got to give him credit. He's deliberate when he's trying to phrase these Twitter questions, right? Because he wants a certain response. So I give him a lot of credit for it. It's what helps the show keep rolling. But when he asks whether or not he's had a good offseason, it doesn't mean he's had a bad offseason or a terrible offseason, right? I think there is some middle ground there where you can say, yeah, you know what? It's not like he's had a horrible offseason. He's made the best of the situation. He's gotten the team under the salary cap. He restructured some contracts, did some of those things, made the most out of the Carson Wentz situation with the trade.
Yep.
I think those are things you can give Howie credit for. And I think that's fair to give him credit for those things. But when you do bring up the fact that the head coach that they decided to go with, still question mark out there.
Absolutely.
The quarterback situation where, now, to the Eagles, whether you agree or disagree, right? And I kind of agree with them, but I also can see where a lot of people would be upset, have yet to name their starting quarterback. So that leaves a question mark out there. That's like a cloud hovering over the franchise, particularly with the fan base, because we as fans, we want to know, hold on, who should we align with? Like, who are we getting behind? Who should I be putting all my energy and my support behind as our starting quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
And couple that with the fact that the Eagles seem to be in every rumor out there as it pertains to a quarterback that could be available, that makes people think that, are they really committed to Jalen Hurts as our guy, right? So that makes people feel uneasy, and I haven't even brought up trading out of the sixth pick with the opportunity to even to get Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts or a franchise left tackle, whatever, or even a quarterback if that's what you wanted. Well, you pretty much eliminated all that when you decided to move out of the sixth pick to the 12th pick. Some people liked that. Some people didn't.
It certainly puts the bullseye on Howie Moore.
Yes.
For sure. If he had stayed at six, that would have been the easy thing to do.
And it just added to that cloud of the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Because the first round pick for next year was so important to them, it makes people wonder, are they trying to position themselves to either make a trade for a quarterback or trade up in the draft next year if they aren't high enough in the draft to get the number one quarterback?
Which is a smart thing to do, though. Like,
right.
I think Jalen Hurts is going to be good. Mm-hmm. I am in on Jalen Hurts. I think last year, sometimes people grade him almost too hard when you consider he was a rookie with no training camp, no preseason, and he was thrown into a very bad situation. So for him to look as good as he did, I thought was extremely promising. That being said, we in this city have seen how quickly things fall apart with a quarterback, right? I don't think anybody even thought. Even last year when they took Jalen Hurts, I was saying this might not be good for Carson. I didn't think it would be 1 year, right? So I do think Howie is correct to guard himself against the possibility of, look, if Jalen's not good, they need to fix this situation quickly. They need to find a quarterback. And there are not many teams in the league that need a quarterback right now that are set up better to get one if they have to get one than the Eagles are, with the cap space, the draft picks, and hopefully you don't have to use those on a quarterback. The best case scenario for this team is Jalen Hurts comes out next year and is great. And then you're saying, you know what? We got a quarterback, we got draft picks, and we're good to go. Howie's job is to protect against that as well. Mm-hmm. And I think by acquiring these picks, he is setting the team up. If Jalen does not succeed, there is a safety net there to try to get another one.
All right, let's talk to the people.
Let's do
Has Howie Roseman had a good offseason so far?
No.
Oh, come on. Well, Doug would probably agree with that.
Doug probably would.
Doug got to buy a new house. You know, I mean, Doug had to get it to move his whole family out of here.
Yeah. Doug
does not think that Howie had a good offseason.
Doug looks happy, though, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, his son.
Well, you see Ray escape the burning building. Of course he's happy.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you guys are wild, man. Well, let's go to Max in Allentown. Max, has Howie had a good offseason in your estimation?
Well, let me just preface that comment by saying, does Jason Babin deserve to be mentioned for the Hall of Fame after that one season he had with the Eagles? I mean, it's the same rhetorical question.
Okay.
So I don't even have to dignify it with an answer.
Well, Howie's had way more than one good year, but you can continue.
Way more than one good year.
Yeah.
Well, I have to laugh at that. Here's the thing. I'm no longer a fan of this franchise. Mm. And it's because Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie. And just like Michael Corleone said, just when I thought I was out, you pull me back in. Because when I hear this slobber fest for Howie Roseman, it actually angers me. I know this is entertainment, but it angers me to hear this. And to take the side and the narrative that you're taking is irresponsible. It's not good journalism.
Well, can I ask you why, though? Like, why is it so irresponsible to believe a general manager that has won the Super Bowl, taken his team to the playoffs multiple times, can't do it again?
Because you're saying that the past represents success and that one outlier year.
But you're using the past to be pessimistic about Howie. So you can't just pick and choose the past. Yes, he's had bad drafts. But
you're seeing it from a perspective of wanting to see something that's not there. It's a narcissistic tendency.
No, I actually think I'm seeing, what has happened. Right? I understand the draft picks and the mistakes, but overall, and you mentioned you're not a fan of the team anymore, so you've been a fan and you've seen them go to the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years, right? I mean, not many teams have accomplished that. So has Howie been perfect? No, I'm not going to fight that at all. Like, there are things Howie's done that I think were bad, that backfired, and all that. But overall, as a fan, you had a lot more Mondays when you wake up happy than you do sad, because there's a lot of teams out there that do not win as much as the Eagles have under Howie.
But here's the thing with that, though, Elliot. I don't know, since the Super Bowl, we've had a lot more days than we've waken up on a Monday.
It's been a few more days. It hasn't been
70%.
Exactly. Yeah.
And even some of those wins, I'm not sure we were happy about.
But what's interesting is, and I was, you know, in 2018, 2019, when they were struggling, I was the one saying, I don't think this team
looks
great. Yeah, and I appreciate the call. I mean, you know, he took a few shots at me, but
that's
okay. So I appreciate the call.
Well,
yeah.
Well, yeah, get used to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. But here's what I would say. Where I was surprised at, and honestly, mm-hmm. this is what made me view Howie in a different light, because I used to think Howie was, I was with other people, like, Howie's not a good general manager. They had never won a playoff game with them before 2017. Like, there were reasons to be skeptical of Howie.
Right.
But what's interesting is, when you take a step back and you look at what other teams have done, the bad days for the Eagles and Howie are so much better than the bad days for other teams. Like, yes, last year was frustrating to watch, but guess what? That's something the Giants go through, like, every year. The Giants have lost double-digit games 6 of the last 7 seasons.
Sure.
Under Howie, they've only done it, I believe, once or twice, I think at most, and they've only done it under Lurie back-to-back years once. So this idea that, you know, Howie is a terrible general manager and that, you know, people have to not be fans of the team, I would hate to see what these people say if they were a fan of like 80% of the league, because those teams are way worse than the Eagles are.
Yeah, I think kind of looking at this in this moment, it doesn't feel good. It's obvious that it doesn't feel good.
And I understand that. Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. And again, when we're talking about Howie and whether or not a fan base should feel good about where the team is at, it's hard to reconcile with that idea that we are unsure about the coach and the quarterback and even Howie. You got people that's unsure there.
Yeah.
You aren't going to get people to feel good about where the team is at right now. Now, it doesn't mean people feel like the team is doomed and destined to just be terrible, but I think people are still waiting for that move to Howie to make that makes them feel good. Would you agree? Has there? Well, I mean, you're letting off balloons and stuff for Anthony Harris and.
Well, I think they were great signings.
What was our linebacker name?
Eric Wilson.
Eric Wilson.
Yeah, 122 tackles last year. But here's
How many missed tackles?
Yeah.
Yeah, not probably as many as Nate Gary and these other linebackers. I can't imagine it was worse than that. So to what you just said, and you know, I think the callers have really represented this well so far today. I understand the anger. I'm not pushing back and saying everyone should be happy. You should be super optimistic. If you want to sit here, call up, you know, if you're at home listening and you're frustrated where this team is at, I get it. But what I think we've reached a point is where, and honestly reminds me a little bit of how things were with Nelson Aguilar, where once you turn on a guy, there's no going back. And fans have turned on Howie. All I'm here to say is
that was not a good example.
Well, because Nelson didn't work out. But you know what
Nelson
I'm saying.
Nelson stinks.
Yeah. Well, nobody regrets not going.
He had a pretty good year in Oakland.
Yeah, considering what he was his last year here. Nobody is regretting letting Nelson Aguilar leave here.
I agree. I mean, former player lounge guy, so I'm not going to hate on him too much. But what I'm saying,
you guys run guys out of town. Sidney Jones?
Yeah. I mean,
who's next? Who's next for the players from lounge?
Miles Sanders was there last
year.
Uh-oh.
But what I would say to the people that are mad and frustrated is, what is it about the past that makes you so sure he won't win again, right? You talked about how, you know, there's skepticism about the head coach, the roster, the general manager himself. The last time there was this type of skepticism was 2016. And we saw that turn around pretty quickly, right? So so I agree that Howie's made mistakes, but what I can't relate with is people that think that there's no chance. Like, yeah, if you want to rip Howie, rip Howie. But then you have to also be fair and say he's done a lot of good here as well. And that could happen as well. It could happen again.
Okay, well, listen, I'm sure there's some people out there that would agree with you. Let's go to Dominique. He's out in Cherry Hill. Dominique, how you feeling about Howie Roseman?
How's it going, Ike? How's it going, Elliot?
What up, man?
What's
Thanks
up, Dom?
For calling in.
Hey, so I'm calling in to defend my guy, Howie.
Oh, here we go.
And, you know, Ike, you know where I'm at with this. I called in a couple times about Howie in the last couple weeks to defend him. Mm-hmm. And, yes, he's made mistakes. But I'm going to give you two main things why we should believe in Howie Roseman still. Number one, okay, the decision to get hurt in the second round to many was one of his worst moves, whereas, in my opinion, and I think Elliott's as well, is it was a smart move about them still being unsure with Carson Wentz. The money, the contract was a commitment, but the injuries and the unsure, like, on how he would do and hold up was a smart investment on their part to get hurt. He's one of our biggest bright spots heading into this year. Mm-hmm. A lot of people calling in defend her. They're defending him. They're excited about him. But those are the same people that are bashing Howie, which makes zero sense to me. It makes zero sense.
Well, because there's two – well, hold on real quick, Dom. That's two different people. Like Jalen Hurts was drafted into this situation. He hasn't been under – he's not in control of any of this. He's just handling it as it presents itself. There's no reason for anybody to bash Jalen Hurts. Quite frankly, he's not responsible for anything.
And he's handled it well.
Yes, he was drafted here. He's unsure of what's going on right now. So he's got his head down, working hard. I like that about the young man. He isn't assuming anything. He's just got his head down and he's working. But as it pertains to Howie, he's been in this position for a few years. And I think what we're getting, Dom, is that – you're going to get, at least for me, my biggest thing with Howie would be, it would be the handling of this whole situation. In other words, it was almost as if it was more important to secure the insurance policy as it was more important to actually taking care of the actual commodity and making sure, right? So it was like, okay, we got to make sure we got an insurance policy in case something happens with Carson. Then we got to go out there and prove to everybody that it was the right guy because we didn't want to miss out on Russell Wilson and all these other things. Then we had to force him on the field in the dual quarterback situation.
Which
I need
so
to see
bad,
the package. Yeah, like, so I think that's where people will look at Howie and be like, okay, some of this was created by what you guys – was your vision. It was your vision and what you're doing. And when you look at it even now, there's still 1 foot here and 1 foot in Ian next year, 2022. So they haven't even fully committed to Jalen Hurts yet, Dom.
No, I know. And I think that's part of, like, the new growing process. But I wanted to say is he built this offensive line where we're so shored up on the offensive line. Why do people believe that he's not going to prioritize those types of positions in the draft and think he's just going to always go receiver?
Oh, I think he is going to prioritize, like, those positions.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and thanks for the call, Dominic. Listen, sitting back at 12, they probably have four or five different players they can look at. They certainly have different positions that they need to address. And, I mean, listen, when we get ready to talk about draft – this came at the right time. We are in mock draft central.
Mock draft season.
Yeah.
Yes. And listen, there's a mock draft every day. The mockers are hot these days.
It's a good time to be.
I mean, literally, you know? There's a different one every day. So this one is from CBS Sports, which seems like it's
one of my favorites.
Yeah, one of Ike's go-tos. when a caller calls in with a random guy, Ike needs to look it up real quick. CBS Sports is his go-to.
Yep.
So obviously, the first two picks we all know it's going to be Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. Then they go Justin Fields at number three, not Mac Jones.
Best quarterback in the draft right there.
Which drafter did you get?
His name is, what is his name? Brian DiArdo? Oh, God. Never even heard of him. But whatever.
Okay, whatever.
Number four, he goes Kyle Pitts.
To Atlanta?
To Atlanta.
Okay.
To Atlanta. Five, the Bengals, your team. It's getting hot. Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase. There
That'd
he
be
goes.
A bad pick by them, man.
Oh, it'd be classic Bengals.
Yeah.
That, they would earn the nickname the Bungles. Number six, the Dolphins take Elliott's guy, Devonta Smith Jr.
Ooh. Wow.
I think he's going to be great, man. He reminds me of Justin Jefferson coming out the draft.
In what way?
Because last year with Justin Jefferson, everyone was so focused on the fact he was a slot receiver that he got knocked down. With Devonta Smith, everyone's so concerned about his weight. The production is there. Like, he had six touchdowns in the biggest games of the year last year. He's dominated college football. I understand the concern about it, but we saw with Justin Jefferson was a guy that dominated college football and then somehow went like 23rd or whatever, 22nd. I think Smith has a lot of those same qualities.
All right.
Well, everyone knows that Justin Jefferson can't separate. So, I mean, it's,
yeah, exactly.
It's okay. It's understandable why he went so low, and I totally agree with him. pick seven, the Lions go Jalen Waddle.
Wow. Oh,
wow.
Yes.
So that's
three receivers. Three,
I said that yesterday.
Well,
that three receivers. Man, so four.
I think Howie would be happy with this, by the way.
Wow.
Right?
Would he? I guess.
Well, we don't think
I mean,
Howie
he moved out of six, so he obviously didn't want any of these guys.
Right.
Yeah, why would you want any of these guys?
Now, this is weird. he has the Panthers taking Trey Lance.
After they traded for...
Who is this guy? Trey Lance. They just traded
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold. I mean, maybe... I mean,
now, they didn't give up a ton for Sam Darnold.
Well, he's under contract for one more year?
Yeah.
I think two. So
when they picked up his option.
Yeah, right.
Picked up the fifth year.
Well, and Lance is viewed as a project, so...
Yeah, but the difference is there's no way Sam Darnold's staying in Carolina if they draft Trey Lance at eight.
True that.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it'd be such a Howie move. I'm proud of the Panthers.
Oh, quarterback factory Carolina edition?
Yep. Okay. Micah Parsons, 9 to the Broncos.
That makes sense.
Von
Miller.
You know John Elway would be pissed that Trey Lance is taken. He wants a big armed quarterback. Ike, very sorry. Cowboys take Patrick Surtain.
Mm.
And the Giants back that up with another one of your guys, Penei Sewell.
Oh, wow. So the Giants go lineman?
Probably smart.
They probably need to. Yeah, probably smart.
They had one of the worst offensive lines in the league last year. They would badly need that.
And they took a lineman last year, didn't they?
Yeah, number four, and I think they benched him.
Yeah,
or
he was terrible.
He was terrible. Bad.
He was this year's Eric Flowers.
Or Andre Dillard.
Yep. And yes, enough. And finally, he has the Eagles taking Rashawn Slater, the correct pick at number 20.
Whoa! Ooh. Jack gets his offensive lineman. He's been talking about building the team in the trenches.
See, he went for football games.
I wouldn't like that pick, man. I just got to be honest. When I look at it, like, here's my thing. I get the logic behind it, and I think he's the best tackle in the draft. I would take.
You think he's better than Sewell?
Absolutely, man.
No.
He blocked better people in college.
Is it because of the
the Pac-12?
I'm gonna get kicked out of the Big Ten. Yesterday, I made the mistake and said the SEC was the best conference in football.
Well, it is.
And now I'm taking a Pac-12 lineman over Slater, who shut down Chase Young.
That's what I'm saying.
Whatever happened, Dyke Reese?
I thought you were a Slater guy.
I do like him, but I like Sewell, too. I like him more.
My concern with
I like him more.
My concern with a tackle would be, if there's one thing Howie's been good at in the draft, it's finding late-round value on the offensive line. Like, he's been good at that, right?
So you don't need – he's actually been bad in the first round.
Right.
With the exception of Lane,
Vaitai, Sayamalu, Mailata, we'll see. Like, these are late-round guys. And I think with Stoutland as your coach – you can maybe afford to take a little later because he's so good at developing guys. And maybe that's why Howie's looked good. But, man, to me, like, I want to see what Mailata does. And I understand building through the lines. I get all that. But I'm excited about Mailata's future. You have Lane Johnson. Like, how does Slater fit into that? What does that mean for Dillard? And I know you can't take some of those things into the equation when picking at 12 because you got to pick the best guy. But that'd be tough for me.
Yeah.
With like J.C. Horn sitting there.
That's why I would go. If Surtain is gone, I'd take J.C. Horn.
If the receivers are gone, I would honestly maybe take Micah Parsons over Slater, too.
The Eagles are not drafting linebacker.
I agree they won't. I'm just saying what I would do.
Okay. All right, well, I'll tell you, we're looking for people who agree with you, Elliot, and, you know, who thinks Howie's had a great offseason.
You'll be looking for a while, probably.
Well,
but
no,
Dominic
agreed with you. Our next caller is going to agree with you. You know Mike from King of Prussia. Mike agrees with you. Mike.
Hey, I just want to know, how much does Howie pay for you to peddle this propaganda week in, week out? Is it like
so you didn't
thousand?
Say Mad Mike, and I was like, maybe it's a different one. But then I heard it, and I was like, this guy is mad today. So we got our man on the line.
I'm so tired of this nonsense. But, like, Yeah. Oh, Howie makes all these mistakes, and then he does the bare minimum to correct the mistakes that he made. But we're going to just give him loud praise on him because.
Well, but Mike, the question is not how is Howie done over the last year.
No. I don't care what the question is.
Okay, good.
I'm calling in to just tell you, like, the fact that he alienated our quarterback because he had to take a second round quarterback that reminded him of Russell Wilson, so he's gone now. And then he went ahead and got under the cap by restructuring contracts again, which got him in cap trouble to begin with. Like, I don't care what you think. And then, bringing free agents that couldn't even get like multi-year contracts. You're telling me, oh, this safety is going to be a world beater.
Well, do you like the signing?
No, I don't.
Shocker.
I don't care.
Shocker.
I just don't care. Like if you can't get more than 1 year, then you're probably not that good. So,
well,
like,
I think a lot of players are taking 1 year deals, by the way, because they want to cash in next offseason when the salary cap is bigger.
Fantastic. I still don't think this guy's any good. And this linebacker is supposed to play outside linebacker, not inside, but we're putting him at inside because we're geniuses. So, like, I don't care. Like, this offseason sucks to me. Howie Roseman sucks to me. And the fact that you just look at it and take out the 1 year where they won the Super Bowl, he's a garbage GM.
Well, that's just not true, though, Mike. Like, you can say it all you want, but it's not true.
It's true.
Then how come he has a better resume than, like, every general manager except 8 or 9 in the league right now? If they're so bad, why are the Eagles always so much better than other teams?
Yeah, we had to let Mike go. That would have went on for 5 more minutes.
Mike is a stout Howie Roseman hater. Surprised he didn't take a shot at Brandon Graham. Every time I talk to him, he's like, Graham's never had 10 sacks.
Listen, Mike is good at when you use him in doses, right?
Today's a Mike day.
Yeah.
Today's a Mike day.
I love Mike. I follow Mike on Twitter. Yes. I got nothing but love for Matt Mike, yes. But he's not a Howie guy.
No. Kind of knew where he was going with his thoughts on Howie in that call.
Yeah.
Sort of needed it for
you. It was like a throwback AI possession. It's like, just throw it to Mike and let him do his thing for a little bit.
Let him do his thing. Well, you know what, E? Today's show is brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's welcomes back the best fans in the world to their flagship location on Packer Avenue in the Stadium District. Plus, their locations inside the Wells Fargo Center and at the ballpark. Chickies and Pete's is now back open. Elliot, oh man, now we've been talking Eagles football and we're going to continue that all day because it's Football Friday, and when we got Elliot Shore Parks in the house, we have to talk,
man,
football.
Just hearing Football Friday has me excited, right? I got to say.
Right? I mean, just talking with you, I got to put it that way. So, but we're going to take a little respite with football because, I mean, the best team in the city, I should say the hottest team in the city right now.
Best team.
Go ahead with the best team.
Yeah, have a take.
The best team in the city is back in action tonight down in Hotlanta. Mm. Your Fightins 5-1 on the mound tonight. Zach Willard, they get it going again. We're going to have Philly's color analyst coming up to join us. Kevin Franson, friend of the show, one of our favorite guys. He's just a dude. Right, Jack? He's a dude.
Baseball guy.
He's a baseball guy, man. He's a bro, too. Oh, come on, man. He's a bro. So we got him coming up. Can't wait to talk to him about the Phillies. And whether I have that, oh, yeah, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 when we come back on the other side. Stick with us right here on 94 WIP. Hey, add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Now, there's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique, fun bet types like same-game parlay, and exclusive always-on promotions such as enhanced odds boosts on the biggest events to let you get more action out of every game day. And if you win, they'll get you your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. And, man, here are a few reasons why I love using FanDuel. Easy to use, fast withdrawals, opportunity to win big. Man, I got money down right now, Jack, on the Masters, man. I can say that, right? The Pro Golf Tournament. I think I can say that. I think I'm good with that. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place your first bet on anything, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you get to keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. And if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. Make sure you sign up with promo code Ike so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Ike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.